بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وحكمة وعملا متقبلا أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله and welcome inshallah to our ninth class on the fiqh of marriage and I'm very happy that you all stayed inshallah we ask Allah to give us much knowledge and benefit in this time together, inshallah. We left off last time, and the brother Uwais, he's not here, he asked us a question about the websites and getting married through the matrimonial websites that are out there. What is the Islamic ruling on that those particular websites? And the ulama, they state that when looking at the potential bride, we talked extensively about when is it permissible and how much is it permissible to see and how should one go and see the bride if he wants to marry her. And he can send a woman, for example, or he can go in person. And we also talked about the using pictures. Can a person look at a picture? And a lot of the ulama, they warned about using the images or the pictures because they're easily changed. A person can easily make the picture wider or thinner or darker or brighter. So for that reason, a person might get married expecting something, or he might get into a marriage expecting certain qualities in his wife, and he'll find that she's actually different than that. So the ulama, they warned about using pictures. But the question is, now they have a lot of websites where people can look to see for a potential wife. And they look at the images on those websites. So the scholars, they say that using the websites to find a bride or to find a husband is permissible. However, it has to fulfill certain conditions. And the first condition is that a person shouldn't look at the images of all the women on the website. Right? Because he's not serious about marrying all of the women. He has to find a woman who's interested in. Right? When the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if one of you proposes to a woman, then look at her. Right? This is the hadith we studied last time. When a person is interested in proposing to a woman, then he can look at her. But if he's not, he's just looking at women to, as they say, looking at the, as he looks at goods or something like that, that's not the right way to look at a woman. Because he's not serious about the proposal. And in Islam, we're required to lower our gaze. We're not supposed to look at women with a desire, except in this exceptional case when we're looking for marriage. Because marriage will produce a bond that will lead to children, and it will build it'll be a building block for society. In Islam, everything that it commanded is for the benefit of humanity, and everything that it forbade is to prevent harm for humanity. Nothing is forbidden in Islam except that it prevents harm. And nothing is commanded in Islam except that it brings about benefit for us and for all of society. So the ulama, they say when you look on the website, the person should not look at the images of all the women on the website, but he should find a woman that he feels he's interested in and he's ready to make the proposal based on what he learned about her qualities, about her akhlaq, about her background. And in that case, he should look to see if there's the compatibility in terms of looking. Also, the scholars, they say that on the website, the woman should not describe herself as if a man is looking at her. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, no woman should describe a woman to her husband as if he is looking at her. So, for example, on some of these websites, the woman, she describes everything about herself. I'm this tall, my size is this, my hair is this, and you know everything. So that's not permissible because it's as if he's looking at her. So the woman, she should not mention all of those things about herself on the public website. And also, one of the things that we have to be aware of is on the websites is that you have the direct correspondence between the man and the woman. And this leads to the forming of a relationship. And this leads to fitna. And so the Islam in its wisdom, it has placed a guardian for a woman. When a man wants to get married, he has to go to the woman's guardian and request her hand in marriage. This is honor for a woman, because the woman, she has to be requested. And also, the guardian, he can look out for the benefit of the one under his trust. And a man, he knows men better than a woman can judge a man. Oftentimes a woman will judge a man from the outward qualities. If he borrows his friend's nice car, she says, "Mashallah, he's a nice car." Combs his hair, she's impressed. But for a man, he'll judge the man because he knows other men. He knows the sweet talk, and he can see the real qualities of a man. So out of the wisdom of Islam, Allah has commanded that a woman can only be married through her guardian. And a marriage is not valid without a guardian, according to the vast majority of the ulama. So the guardian is there, and so the marriage websites, oftentimes they skip over the guardian, and the man and the woman, they begin to talk directly, without the involvement of her family. So in this case, that's something that we have to avoid when using the websites, but rather, there should be a third party involved, like the administrator of the website, for example. And then when the man expresses interest, they can have the wali get involved, the guardian of the woman, and that way they can have a healthy correspondence. And if the marriage is correct, he can see her picture. If that picture is... he shouldn't base his decision on the picture, of course. He should see her in person if possible. Because the ulama say that the picture could be deceptive. And then in that case, using the websites, inshallah, there's no harm in that. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, inshallah, we'll move on and begin and review a little bit of, or talk about what we had began last time, which is that there's also some women or some people that act as professional matchmakers. And what they do, they get paid to go from, to match between a man and a woman. And they do this as a profession. And in some countries, they go into the houses and they look at the women and they try to find matches for those women. But they do it as a source of income. And the ulama also, they warn about using these professional services. Because oftentimes, the matchmaker, all they want to do is force two people to get together so they can earn their money. Even if the two are not compatible. Right? They might say, this person has all these good qualities that you're looking for, and he doesn't have them. And she might say, or the matchmaker will say, oh, she memorizes the whole Qur'an. She doesn't even memorize the whole juz of the Qur'an, probably. So they might say whatever they can to make the match take place and not worry about what happens afterwards, because they're interested in getting their profit from the... So the ulama, they warn about that, and they say that if a person wants to find a spouse, they should send a relative to look, like a sister or an aunt or somebody who they trust. So that relative will not cheat them, will not tell them the wrong things about the woman, but they can send the woman to the house of the woman he's interested in. She'll describe her correctly according to what he asks her to look for, and so that this way the true qualities of the woman will be known. And so this is again to bring love between the husband and the wife, that the husband finds a woman that he's interested in, and without falling into what we call zina in Islam, which is having the adultery or the relations outside of marriage. Because this also leads to a lot of harm in society. It leads to, as you know, so many abortions every year take place, and so many diseases such as AIDS, and the families, so many divorces are caused because of adultery. So Islam, it's a perfect system. It wants the individual to achieve happiness as well as the family, and then the whole of society. So you see all of the wisdom and the teachings of Islam, that it allows the looking and the getting to know of one another, but the marriage act should be within, or the act of marriage, it should be after a contract is known and made public in society, so that everybody can make dua for the new couple and support them, and they can have the whole of society behind them to support them and their children afterwards. So let us move on, inshallah, to the next hadith of the beloved Prophet ﷺ. This hadith is narrated by Ibn Umar. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يخطب بعضكم على خطبة أخيه. None of you should make a proposal over the proposal of his brother. And inshallah I'll explain this. حتى يترك الخاطب قبله. Until the first person who proposed, he leaves his proposal. أو يأذن له الخاطب. Or the first man who proposed, he gives permission to the second person to make the proposal. Again, I'll read it. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, no one of you should ask a woman in marriage when his brother has already done so, until the one who has proposed to her before him gives her up, or he gives him permission. This is hadith agreed upon by both Bukhari and Muslim. So what this means, the author Ibn Hajar, may Allah have mercy on him, he wants to bring to light the subject of how one goes about proposing to a woman after he talked about seeing a woman. And this is a natural order. First the person will see a woman, he's interested in marrying her, so now Ibn Hajar, may Allah have mercy on him, he's talking about how one goes about making that proposal in marriage. The Prophet ﷺ said, no one should ask for a woman if his brother has already done so. No one, here this is a prohibition. This is called nahi in Arabic. Even in Urdu, I think they say nahi, right? It means don't do something. So the Prophet ﷺ, he's forbidding. He said, do not do this. It is not allowed for a person to ask for the hand of a woman in marriage when his brother has already done so. Now something beautiful about the words of the Prophet ﷺ. Notice how he said, when his brother has already done so. He didn't say when a person has already done so. He didn't say when a man has already done so. He used the word brother. And this is to show that the relationship between the two people proposing, they're brothers. And you should keep in mind the rights of brotherhood. That Muslims are, all Muslims are brothers in religion. Every Muslim has rights on his brother, his fellow Muslim. Every Muslim woman has a right on her sisters in Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ, he's making it very clear that the relationship of the second person proposing, to the first is one of brotherhood. So a person, he should keep in mind about the rights of his brother who's already proposed to that woman, and he should not violate that right by going and trying to overdo or trying to surpass the first one by asking for the woman in marriage. And as we'll see, this leads to enmity, right? It leads to a lot of harm in society. If a man, he proposes to a woman, then somebody else competes against him. And he says, no, I want to marry her, and he comes forward and tries to marry her. And then a third, this creates enmity. The first one who proposed, he'll have ill feeling in his heart. Because he was the first to try to marry the woman, and another is proposing ahead of him. So what it means here is that the brotherhood in Islam, it should take priority, and a person should mind the rights of his brother. And in Islam, your brother in the religion is more closer to you than your brother by blood. If your brother by blood, he's not a Muslim, and somebody else who's not directly related to you, but he's your brother in Islam, like me and Brother Abdullah, we are closer to one another than Abdullah and, say, one of his other brothers who are not Muslim. The reason for that is that in Islam we have the brotherhood in religion and the belief in one God. And this brotherhood will continue in the afterlife. This is a very deep bond, and we each have rights on one another in the religion. So Islam is a brotherhood. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. Believers are brothers of one another. So here we see that the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if a man has proposed to a girl, to a woman, through her wali, through her guardian, then another man comes along and he proposes to the same woman and he wants to also marry her, the Prophet ﷺ is saying this is not allowed. It's not allowed for another person to come along and propose to a woman if a person has already given her a proposal and has come forward to do that. Since the first one, he has more right. He preceded him. He was first, and so he has more right. However, The question now is, when does this prohibition take place? When does it become absolutely haram for another person to propose to the woman? Is it as soon as the first one has the idea, he says, oh, I want to marry that woman, so it becomes forbidden for anybody else? Or is it after they've talked, or after they've come to agreement? Here we'll see that the scholars, they have a difference of opinion. Imam Malik, he says that it is forbidden for one to make a proposal to another woman, to a woman who's already been proposed to, if the family has inclined to the first proposal, and they've agreed to it, and they've come to a settlement, where they spoke to one another, the proposee, the suitor, he went forward. Let's use one of the brothers as an example, Brother Bilal. He went forward to the woman's family, and they talked, and they liked each other, and the family inclined towards Brother Bilal. They said, Brother Bilal is a great brother, we were interested in him, and they come very close to finalizing the marriage. So in this case, Imam Malik, he says, now it is haram for anybody else to come along and propose to the same woman. Because the families, they've come to an agreement. They've inclined towards one another. However, if the family didn't respond, if the family, they said, we're going to think about it, we'll make istikhara. You know, the brother came forward, say another brother is not, Brother Tariq. Oh, he's already married. So let's say Brother Muhammad. So he goes forward, and the family, oh, his brother's raising his hand, he volunteers. Okay, we'll use Brother Muhammad. He goes forward, and the family says, we're going to make istikhara. We're thinking about it, we don't know. The daughter's still thinking about it, she doesn't know. She doesn't know whether she should accept or not. And they still, you know, they haven't settled on it, they haven't inclined towards the suitor. So in this case, what does Imam Malik say? Imam Malik, he said, it's no problem for another suitor to come forward. Because they have not inclined, they have not come to any agreement yet. And the reason for that, the reason why Imam Malik says that, is that by preventing anybody else from coming forward, you might prevent the woman from a good husband. Perhaps there's a really good husband, he would like to come forward, but if you say, as soon as somebody makes a proposal, nobody else is allowed to make a proposal, then in that case, it will prevent her from getting married. It will cause a great difficulty to the woman. To say that the family, they take a long time to think about it. Or say that they think about it for a long time and then they agree, and then Brother Muhammad said, I changed my mind, I want to marry this other woman. So then, what happened to the woman? That whole period of time, she missed out on a good suitor. Maybe Brother Abdullah was going to come along and give them a proposal. So they would have missed out. So you see that the wisdom here is for the benefit of the woman, and in this case. For the benefit of the woman, in this case, she should be allowed to hear another suitor if she and her family did not incline towards the first person. This is not to say that Brother Muhammad is not a good suitor. I'm sure everybody would accept him. So here, this is so that the second suitor that comes along, he might be more honest. He might be more just. He might be more true in his proposal. So he should be given that opportunity according to which Imam? According to Imam Malik. This is Imam Malik, his opinion. However, the Jumhur of the Ulama, Jumhur means the three Imams other than the four Imams, Imam Malik is one of them, so the Jumhur means the majority, the other three. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Ahmed, Imam Shafi. They say that as soon as a first proposal has come forward, whether they settled on it or not, whether they came to an agreement or not, they said it is no longer permissible for anybody to come forward at this point. It's no longer permissible for anybody to propose to a woman who already has an ongoing proposal. This is according to the Jumhur, whether the family accepted it or not. And some of them say they do make an exception. They make one exception, which is that if the first suitor, the first person who came forward, he was not compatible with a woman in terms of religion. Say the first person, he came forward and he proposes to the woman, but he does a lot of sins. His religion is not good. So in this case, the Jumhur, the Ulama, they say that it's allowed for anybody who has better religion to come forward and propose. This is to save the woman from being married to this, to a bad person, a person who's not compatible with her in terms of religion. So if this man came forward, he proposed, but his religion is not good, and he's not compatible with her, then it's allowed for another man to come forward and still propose, because his religion is more suitable to her. And again, for the, in the best interest of the daughter, that she marries somebody who's suitable with her in terms of her religion. And also, what we see, and this is something very beautiful in Islam, and something very beautiful in Islamic law, is that the wisdom behind this prohibition is to preserve the bonds and ties in society, and to preserve the social order and love in a society. How is that? I'll explain this. It's something very subtle, but something very beautiful. When a person, he proposes to a woman, and they're compatible with each other, but say his income is, you know, has a moderate level of income. And then another man, he comes along, and he has a higher level of income. He has a nicer car. And he comes along and he wants to propose to the same woman. If we allowed that, then what would happen? Then everybody would compete in terms of the dunya things, the worldly things. And the family themselves, perhaps they're not that, they, because they have weakness in their iman, they might incline towards this other person who has a nicer car or a better job. And they'll reject the first person, not because his religion is no good, but because they want somebody with more wealth. And so this will lead to a type of competition in society, and this will lead to a lot of harm. Whereas a person who's compatible, and he had enough income, he will be rejected, because the family wants somebody more wealthy. And so Islam, in order to close this door, and to close the guardian being deceived by wealth, the guardian might get a good proposal, and the girl, she might get a good proposal, the man is religious, he has a moderate level of income, and then they think to themselves, let's wait, see what other people come along, maybe they have more wealth. And so for this reason, the man gets rejected, not because he's not compatible, but because of worldly reasons. And this is how the person, this is how the shaitan, he might deceive the family and the woman into following that path. So to close that path, Islam said, according to the majority of ulama, nobody else is allowed to propose. They have to make a decision. If they say yes, then the marriage goes forward. Or if they say no, or the first man, he gives up and he gives permission, then another suitor can come along. You see how Islam wants to preserve the harmony in society and prevent this type of competition over between brothers. Muslims are brothers, so they shouldn't compete with one another for the same woman in this case. And so if the person is prevented from having another proposal, then the first proposal will be given its natural course. The first proposal, the family will say he's a good man, and it'll lead to an agreement, and will lead to marriage. But leaving that door open, it will open a door for doubt and for harm within the marriage. So this is one of the beautiful wisdoms in Islam, to prevent the loss of rights of one's brother and to prevent the harming of one another. Now, the question is, the Jumhur, they say that it is forbidden altogether for anybody to come forward, even if the family inclined or they did not incline. And the Malik school of Imam Malik, he said that the family has to incline towards the person, there has to be some sort of agreement. And there's only some final touches that need to be done on the marriage. They say in this case, there should be no proposing over the other. Now that we have those two positions clear, the question is, what happens if somebody violates the prohibition of the Prophet ﷺ? What are the consequences of that? Say somebody, there's a person who proposed to a woman, and then another person comes along, and they propose over the proposal of the brother. And the family, they say, oh, he has more wealth, or for some reason, they like the second proposal, and then the marriage completes. What is the ruling in this case? If they accept the second marriage, or the second proposal, over the proposal of the first person, what is the ruling? The scholars here, they also differed in their perspectives, the ulama. The scholars, some of them said when the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يخطب, لا, it means nahi, it means it's not allowed, it's forbidden. And when the Prophet ﷺ forbids something, this means that the consequences of it will be annulled. The marriage, that whatever takes place, after Allah, the Prophet has prohibited something, it will annul, it will lead to an annulment. So they say that this is a cancellation. And it's not something that is disliked, but it's something that's absolutely prohibited. And this is because we have no other evidence to say that it's just simply for dislike. When the Prophet says la, that means it's haram. It's not allowed, and it leads to the annulment of the marriage. And so the ulama, they say that if he is proposed to his brother, and then if he is proposed, and then the brother, another Muslim comes forward and he proposes, and they marry the second person, they say that the marriage is annulled. Some of the ulama, they say that that marriage is cancelled out, it's annulled. And these ulama, they say that it doesn't matter if they consummated the marriage, if there was dukhul or not. They say it doesn't matter. The marriage is annulled, the marriage contract is cancelled out. Because it's a violation of the rights of a Muslim. It's a violation of the rights of the brother who came forward. And in Islam, we should not allow or render correct what one has done if they violated the rights of another. So in this case, the scholars hold that the marriage is cancelled out, whether they consummated the marriage or not, whether there was a rukhsati or the zifaf, as they say in Arabic, whether they consummated the marriage, there was dukhul, penetration or not, it doesn't matter. They say that the marriage is cancelled out. However, there are some other ulama, they say that no, the marriage is valid. The marriage is valid, and that the prohibition of the Prophet is for a dislike. Something that is disliked. Something the Prophet ﷺ is trying to indicate that this is something bad because it's bad adab. It's bad akhlaq. Right? Some things the Prophet ﷺ forbade because it's bad akhlaq and it's bad adab. So, bad character. It's not from the character of a believer to do this to his brother. So these ulama, they say it's makruh, something disliked, but if the marriage took place, then we have to respect the sacredness of that contract. And so if they got married, then their marriage is valid. And although what he did was something makruh, something disliked, but the marriage is still authentic and valid. Now there's a third group of ulama. They take a middle position, and this is again the position of Imam Malik. He said that if a second person came forward and he married a woman over the proposal of the first brother, and he said if we reach them or we reach him before the consummation takes place, before the dukhul, then at that point we can cancel the marriage out. The marriage is cancelled. But if the dukhul already took place, does everybody know what dukhul is, consummation? I think it's clear, right? When they begin the marriage night, they spend the night together. If that has already taken place, then they say, that's it, we have to leave them together, and the marriage remains valid, it's not annulled. And the reason why they differentiate is they say, before the consummation, we have the rights of two individuals, and they did something sinful, so we can cancel out the contract between them. But after the consummation, then you have the right of other people, the third party, could be a child involved. So their sin should not affect the child or anybody else. So in that case, they leave them together. They could have a child together from that, and so they leave them, and their marriage remains valid in that case. And so this is the position of Imam Malik. Imam Malik, he said, if they consummated the marriage, then they remain together, and if they did not consummate the marriage, then they are separated in that case. And so again, the subject of this hadith is the prohibition of violating the rights of our brothers in Islam, and to protect the honor of our brothers, and to protect his proposal. And so he's not allowed to propose over the proposal of his brother, and in this case, it could be annulled, or it could be remain, the contract can remain valid. Now there's one exception again, just to emphasize, if the first person who proposes, he's a person of bad religion, he's a fasiq, he does a lot of open sins, then in this case there's no harm for a more religious person to come forward. and propose. There's no harm in that. It's not forbidden according to the ulama. Now, there's one final thing. And I'll finish with this, inshaAllah. And we'll leave the time for some questions, inshaAllah. The Islam, it came to prevent the enmity between the believers in society. Imagine you went forward, or a person went forward, and he proposed for a woman, and then another person comes along, and he competes with him and proposes for the same woman. Wouldn't that lead to animosity between the two? Wouldn't he feel ill feeling towards the second person competing for the same woman? So you see how Islam, in its wisdom, it wanted to prevent the ill feelings within society. And you see a lot of Islamic law is related to that. Afshu salam. The Prophet ﷺ just said, spread salam between one another. Give salam between one another. Even when two Muslims, they shake each other's hands, the sins fall away from them. To put the love in the society and the harmony in society. So in order to prevent the competition because of worldly things, because of wealth, which we see in regular society, right? If you go out on the street, every person is trying to drive a faster car or a nicer car with nicer rims and all that stuff, right? Because they're all competing. Really, what they're trying to do, they're trying to compete for the women, to impress women. That's why a lot of them do that. So Islam wanted to close that type of competition, and then people will be judged by their religion, by their akhlaq, by their character, and so that people do not compete with one another in terms of wealth and position, because the wealth and position come and go. No matter how much money I have or anybody has, tomorrow you don't know. Could be gone tomorrow. And it would be gone. It will be gone eventually. The wealth will go. But what lasts is the religion and the character. And so to prevent even the families from having ill feeling. Say that two families, they were close to getting married, the son and the daughter. Then another person comes along and he has a better job, and they cancel the marriage and they marry him to the other person. What are the families going to say about each other? Of course, the family's going to say, you left our son, you rejected our son for a job, for a car. There's going to be ill feelings between them. So again, to put the love between the families and to prevent enmity. And finally, the last thing that we'll mention is that Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he said that nothing is prohibited in Islam except that it is for a benefit for the worshippers of Allah, for the believers in God. Nothing is prohibited except for some benefit and to prevent some harm from happening to them. And he said nothing is commanded except that it will bring some goodness for the believers. Everything in Islam, it's either forbidden to prevent a harm, or it's commanded to bring some good for the believers. And this is what we'll always find. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ, he says, La, there's a reason to prevent harm from coming to us. And whenever he says, If'an, do something, it brings benefit for the believers. This is why the scholars say the Sharia of Islam, the law of Islam, it stands between two walls, or two places. Well, the first one is Jalb al-Masalih, bringing benefit. And the other place is Dar al-Mafasid, keeping away harm. So we have bringing benefit and keeping away harm, and between that, all of that is what Islamic law teaches. To bring benefit to us as Muslims, as individuals, as societies, as nations. All of this is taught by Islam. It's a complete way of life. It's a perfect way of life. We ask Allah to give us beneficial knowledge and make us of those who hear the words of admonition and follow the best of them. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين وجزاكم الله خيرا. And inshallah we'll pause here, we'll finish here, and if there's any questions, you're welcome to ask, inshallah. Yes, brother, Milan?
How do you get to decide if one of them has better religion than the other one?
Who gets to decide that? If it becomes a matter of dispute, then it goes in front of a judge. Like for example, a person, he wants to propose to a woman, and he believes he has a better religion, right? So he goes forward and he marries a woman, But then the first one, he says, no, I have better religion, and that was not correct. What he did, he can bring that to a judge, and based on the determination of the judge, he might cancel out the second marriage, especially if they didn't consummate it yet, and he might marry her to the, or he might give authority to the first, one. However, again, the majority of the ulama, they say that it's makruh, something disliked, and it's not something that leads to the cancellation of marriage. So that in that case, it would just be a matter of sin. If another person came forward and he proposed to the woman, and he didn't have better religion, but he just wanted to propose, then he gets a sin. But he doesn't. It doesn't have any impact in terms of the validity of the marriage. Just the majority of the ulama, they have this position. Any other questions? Inshallah. Yes, brother? Fadl.
If somebody proposes and he proposes is rejected for some reason, but after some while he wants to come back again and make his proposal, revise proposal.
Upgrade the proposal.
Because there are some food and they don't agree, but now they change it. So in that case, anyway, the third person will have the right to propose.
Right, as long as another person didn't come along during that time. Say that they reject the proposal, and in this case, when the family rejects the proposal, then this opens the opportunity for others to come forward and to give the proposal to the woman. So if somebody else came forward at that time, and he gave his proposal, and they're thinking about it, then the first person, he shouldn't come now, because his proposal is already rejected. And so there's another person now who's ongoing, whose marriage is being considered, so he shouldn't come and propose over the proposal of his brother. No. Wallahu a'lam, Allah knows best, inshaAllah. Any other questions? Yes, brother.
In Islam, do a mother have a right to marry off a daughter, even if the daughter doesn't want to marry the man?
Very good question, mashaAllah. The daughter, we haven't talked about this yet, but we're going to talk about it. In Islam, the daughter has a full right to accept or reject any suitor, any person who comes and asks for her hand. Nobody can force her to get married. She has a right to reject any person, even if the parents, the father, the mother, the whole family, everybody on earth, they got together and they said, you have to marry this person. She says no, then she cannot be married. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said, that a woman, her permission must be taken in marriage. And a woman came to Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and she said, my father married me off to somebody in order to become more honorable. He married me to some rich person. And the Prophet ﷺ said, call your father. So he brought the father and he said, you married her without her permission. So he said to the daughter, you can have your marriage canceled out or you can keep the marriage. And so she said, I want to keep the marriage, but I wanted to show the people that men cannot force women to get married. She wanted to set an example. So she said, it's okay, it's already done, and I'll stay with him. But she wanted to make sure that people knew that men cannot do that. They cannot force their daughter to get married. Again, the role of the guardian is not to force the woman, but it's in order to protect her rights, to protect her from being taken advantage of by others. So it's the role of guardian, it means protection. Wali in Arabic, it means to protect. So the guardian, he protects the woman from people who might take advantage of her. Okay, we have a couple questions from the sisters. There's a sister who's saying, how does one propose if the sister has a non-Muslim family? It's a very good question, sister. Barakallahu fiik. What happens is, for a woman, if she doesn't have she's Muslim, if the woman is Muslim, her guardian has to be Muslim. This is what Islam teaches, that a non-Muslim cannot have guardianship over a Muslim. So her guardian is her closest male relative who's a Muslim. Now, if she doesn't have any Muslim male relative, then the judge or the leader of the Muslim community, the imam, becomes her guardian. So then anybody who's interested in proposing to the woman, they have to go through the leader of the community, the imam of the community, and he can help her to get married, inshallah. Okay, and then the sister asks, how about if the brother has no Muslim family? Okay, for the brother, what happens if a woman wants to initiate the proposal? Can she do that?
Yes.
How does she do that?
Through
Through the wali, that's right. She shouldn't go forward herself, but she should have her wali. And this is what Umar, he did for the Prophet ﷺ. He wanted the Prophet ﷺ to marry his daughter Hafsa. So Umar himself, he went and he said, marry my daughter Hafsa. And he proposed to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet married Umar's daughter Hafsa. So if the brother, he doesn't have a Muslim family, then she can have her wali contact the brother directly. The brother, he doesn't need a guardian. Man, he doesn't need a guardian. He's usually, he can judge things for himself without being taken advantage of. Usually it's harder for a woman to take advantage of a man, but the other way around, it's usually the man who takes advantage of the woman. Also the sister, may Allah reward your sister for your question, Jazakallah khair. The honorable sister, she's asking, is it permitted for a man's male relative, father, to see the girl before marriage? Here, before the marriage, the man's father is not allowed to see the girl. He's not allowed to see the woman, except what normally appears from her, according to the different ulama, for example, the face and the hands, according to the majority of the ulama. Some of the ulama, they say that the face is also not allowed. So the man's father, he's not the proposing person. He's not proposing to her. And so he should only see what any other man sees from the woman. And he should not see what the person proposing sees. He's not allowed to see that. It's haram for him to see that, or for the man to describe anything of the woman to his father. Okay, that's a very good question from the sister, Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you, sisters. Any other questions? Yes, brother.
My uncle
wanted. Yes. Yes.
My uncle wanted to ask if non-Muslims can marry a Muslim woman. Can I ask
him? Oh, sure. That's a question. That's a very good question. Can a non-Muslim marry a Muslim woman? The answer is yes, if he accepts Islam. If he becomes Muslim, he accepts Islam, then inshallah he's welcome to marry a Muslim sister. But in Islam, the man, he's the shepherd of the household. He's the guardian of the household. So the woman, she should be under the guardianship of a Muslim who's going to establish the religion in the house. And Islam encourages marrying a righteous spouse. So according to Islamic law, what Allah has commanded is that for a Muslim woman to marry a Muslim man. This is for her benefit and her interest, and to raise the children under the guardianship of a Muslim head of household. And so the Muslim can marry her, but he has to accept Islam. He has to become Muslim in that case. And inshallah, that will be perhaps her telling him that he has to become Muslim might be a means of his guidance. He might marry her, and the best wedding gift he ever got is he got Islam because of that marriage. He became Muslim because of her. Of course not, he should learn about Islam and know what the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and be convinced of it, and then marry the woman afterwards. Inshallah, in that case, it's allowed, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Allah reward you. Thank you, brother, for may Allah guide you, and thank you for coming by to the masjid, inshallah. Any other questions?
Just a follow-up.
Yes.
What about a non-practicing
Muslim? A non-practicing Muslim? What is
it? Doesn't perform the salah.
Right, okay. We're going to talk about this also. Is that a woman, she should not be married to somebody who has bad religion. Or there should be compatibility in what they call kafa'a, which means that a righteous woman should not be married to an evil man. She should only be married to a righteous man. That's her right. So, you know, when she looks for a spouse, the father, he should not marry her to an evil person. His daughter is a trust. And, of course, she shouldn't accept that type of person. She should look for somebody. The main compatibility in Islam is in religion. The race, the wealth, those other things, Islam does not give the emphasis to. What counts is the religion. A person should have religion. He should be righteous. So if a righteous woman, she wants to get married, she should be married to a righteous man. That's her right in marriage. So if he's not practicing, then he shouldn't be married to a righteous woman. unless he makes tawbah and he makes repentance and he becomes righteous after that, inshallah. Inshallah, yes, brother? Father?
I have a question.
Yes, brother.
It is allowed that man can marry a woman for her wealth, but women cannot marry man for his wealth.
Okay, this is interesting. And I didn't hear this before. A man should not marry for the wealth, nor should a woman marry for the wealth. They should marry for religion. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. فَذْفَرْ ذَاتَ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. He said, seize the woman who is righteous. And of course it applies and vice versa as well. The woman should seize the man who is righteous. And فَذْفَرْ in Arabic, it comes from the word ذُفَرْ. That means nails, fingernails. And when you're digging for gold, you use your nails. You can't use a hammer, because gold is very small. And when you dig for it, so you use your hands, your nails, you grab the gold. So this is the expression of the Prophet ﷺ. فَلْفَرْ ذَاتِ الدِّينِ. Seize the woman of religion, may you be successful. So a man, he should not look at the wealth, because the wealth will come and go. And a woman, she should not only look at the wealth will come and go. But these are things that are considered in marriage, but the Prophet ﷺ, he said, seize the woman of religion. So the woman, she doesn't have wealth, but she has deen, then a person, he will be successful with her. But if the woman has wealth, but she doesn't have deen, then he'll be in great loss in that marriage. So the Prophet ﷺ, he advises to look for righteous husband and righteous wife, inshallah. Yes, Brother Arif, we'll come to you.
What about if the man is righteous, and the other hand, the woman also is righteous, and both of their family, you know, the guardian, they are needy people. But under different circumstances, the guardians have the obligation, okay, this marriage is not, we are not agreeing with the man. But the two couples, I mean, the couples are agreed, both of them. So in this case, what should we do?
Very good question, brother. He's asking about if there's a girl and a brother and a sister, they're both very compatible, their religion is both very strong, very good, and the man has made the proposal and the woman has accepted, but the guardian, he's preventing the marriage for an un-Islamic reason. Not for a valid Islamic reason, but for an un-Islamic reason. He's not preventing the marriage because the man is not righteous or because of a valid reason, but he says that for a reason that's not Islamic.
No, the reason is there is no reason regarding the Islam. Only the intention of their guardian. Maybe they think this bride...
Right. It depends on the reason why they're preventing it. What happens in this case, if the woman feels that the guardian...
Clear reason. So
right. If the reason is, for example, the father wants the daughter to work and support him and support the house, this is not a valid reason. So then in this case, the woman, she can raise the issue with the judge, the Islamic judge or the imam of the community, and he should talk to the father. The father still refuses for an invalid reason, then the Islamic judge changes the guardianship to the next closest relative. So the father, if he's not fulfilling his trust, then it goes to the son. And also, if she has a son. If she doesn't have a son, then an uncle, and so on. Until if there's no one that is willing to fulfill the right of the woman, then the judge, he performs the marriage in that case. So the woman has a right to make recourse to the Islamic judge or the imam in that case. And she shouldn't be prevented from marrying a suitable spouse. Again, the guardianship is an amana, it's a trust. It's not to force the woman to marry whoever the father wants. As we mentioned earlier, the Prophet ﷺ canceled that marriage when she was forced to marry for his interest. It's for her best interest.
So in this case, the boy cannot marry the girl? I mean,
no, they cannot.
Guardian,
right, they cannot get married on their own. She has to go through an Islamic judge. Because maybe the children, the boy and the girl, they think that their father's wrong. But maybe he's right. Maybe he has a valid reason. So the judge has to be the one, the neutral person, who can look at the issue and give the ruling in that case.
And I have the other question.
Yes.
Because human beings are always changing.
No.
Maybe one is not righteous, but after some time we can find that he's being going to be righteous one. Then in that case, a righteous person, maybe she likes somebody or he chose somebody, before she was not righteous, but now she become righteous. In this case, can he choose a girl to marry?
Right. A lot of times, you know, the ulama, they say that if the person promises to change after marriage, you say, don't believe them. They should change now. If you're going to be righteous, they should do it. They should do it right away.
He's righteous already.
No.
I mean, he's doing a prayer or something like that.
It's easy to promise things, right? It's easy to make promises, but the real thing is what, you know, what you see in front of you. So if you think that if she's becoming righteous and she makes tawbah, or she's becoming, making her salat and doing, fulfilling the commandments of Islam, and you see that her akhlaq is good, and you make that judgment, you know, that's a judgment to make, you know. But of course Allah is forgiving, right? A person might have fallen into sin in the past. If they make tawbah, then Allah says, أَتَائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَا مَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. The one who makes tawbah from a sin is like one who has no sin. You know, somebody converted to Islam, what happened before Islam, it doesn't matter, because they left that, Allah erased it for them. What matters is after they made their tawbah to Allah, they made the, asked Allah for forgiveness, Allah is very forgiving, and so those other things do not affect and do not count, inshaAllah. Okay, and one last, should we take one last question? Okay, last question, brother.
I think that one of the reasons for denial is that if it's not an order and it is valid, and the first proposal that comes from a righteous person, you should wed off your daughter. It's just...
Right. There is a hadith. It's not a matter of wedding off the daughter, but the hadith is that إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَلْيَكُنْ فَسَادًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And if a person comes to you who has righteous deen and good character, and you should marry him, you should accept his proposal. And if you don't, there will be great evil on earth. There is a hadith to this meaning. So it's not the scholars, they say it's not an obligation, but it's a recommendation in this case. Because the woman, she can always reject for personal reasons as well. So it's not obligatory to accept, but it's something highly recommended. If a person who comes and he's righteous, he has good akhlaq, he has good religion, then it's highly recommended to accept him. But it's not obligatory. It's not wajib, inshallah.
And how does one get to know if he has made a proposal that the other person does not have a proposal in the first place?
If the other person, if there's another proposal, it should be, if he knows, the family should not accept any other proposals in that time. You know, they shouldn't allow other people to come forward. And maybe it's known in the community. The person makes it known that I proposed to this woman, so. I hope it was beneficial for you. May Allah accept from us, accept from you, and bless you, and grant you all righteous wives and spouses and offspring, and make us from the foremost of the righteous, inshaAllah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Jazakumullahu khair. Wallahu a'lam. Barakallahu feek.